4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And before I read anymore, notice that Spirit's a capital S. It was not his human spirit that took him into that wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was not an evil spirit that led him into that wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was fully led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Into that wilderness, yet to be tempted of the devil. Look at verse number 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I'm going to stop reading right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for how good you've been these days. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving my daughter-in-law yesterday, for saving Annabelle today. Lord, I want to thank you. You're still in the saving business. And Lord, I do believe that others have been convicted and may even now yet be under conviction, and you'd be willing to save them. And I pray, dear God, that you'd show your power and do just that. I ask you, Father, that you might help the saints. Help us, dear God, to receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind, as was said. Lord, help us receive it and to live by it and obey you. Lord, have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Help me be able to say what I need to say as quickly as I need to say it for your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for sitting. You can be seated. I'm not going to give you my title right this moment. I'll give you the title towards the end of the message because that's my point. And I'll give you a thought. But when I'm looking at the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, of course, you know there's three primary temptations that come to him. He tells him that he's in the wilderness. He tells him to command these stones to be made bread. And then he takes him over there and he takes him to that pinnacle of the temple and he tells him to jump off, to leap off of that pinnacle of the temple and that the angels would bear him up. Of course, the devil quotes scripture. Somebody said the wickedest devil in the world is one carrying a King James Bible. He's got his wicked hands on the Word of God and his forked tongue telling the words of God. That's the wickedest devil living. Is the devil that's not ashamed to handle the Word of God. But he's mishandling. He's mishandling the Word of God. And the devil tempts him with that scripture, says, jump down off here, and how God's going to protect you, the angel's going to protect you. And then he takes him to that exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kings of the world in one instant. So you got those three temptations. But Luke says that he was not just tempted three times, but that he was tempted for that whole 40-day period. Matter of fact, it looks to me like that's what Matthew said in verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I don't believe it's just three pow, pow, pow temptations on the Lord. I believe it was a constant, a barrage. Maybe not constant, but a consistent barrage that came at our Lord. And it came in three main points as they come to us. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He was tempted in his appetite. He was tempted in his ambition. And he is tempted towards avarice or the gain of the world. Amen. And so those are the primary temptations that the devil brings upon him. But I want to show you a little bit of the history and give you a little insight as to how the devil tempts. And I want to try to help us, if I can, because we're going into this time of temptation. We're going into this wilderness experience. If you've not already been there, you're headed there. Amen. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But the first word of Matthew 4 is the word then. So when does then take place? The then takes place, if you look back in chapter number 3, and verse number 13, I'll start right there, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And of course the word suffered in Old English means he allowed him. He allowed him to be baptized by him. Verse number 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this
is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Now, there's a lot of questions about the temptation of Christ. Let me just start out this way in introduction and then back up to Matthew 3 and head down through 4. There's questions about whether or not Jesus was actually tempted of the devil, or if it was an illusion, if it was a dream, or if the devil actually showed up in that wilderness and actually tempted the Lord. Here's what I believe. I believe it actually happened because we are actually tempted. Our temptations are not illusionary. Amen. Our temptations are not imaginary. And if all he had was imaginary temptations, how do I know that he'll help me through my real temptations? But since he faced real temptations and overcame real temptations, he can help me overcome real temptations. Amen. Here's another thing, another question. They said, did the devil really know that this was the Son of God? Of course he knew he was the Son of God. Of course he knew. The devil's the prince of the power of the air. Surely if the lesser devils know, and we know that the lesser devils knew. Amen. James said the devils fear and tremble. Amen. They know there's one God. Amen. Who did I say said that? Did I say Daniel said that? Said it, I believe. All right. But when Jesus came and was performing his miracles, you remember when he went out there to gather those Gadarenes, those two men came and those devils came out and they said, "Thou Son of the Most High God," they knew who he was. If those lesser devils knew who he was, I'm sure the real devil knew who he was. Amen. But he acted as if he didn't know, because his job is to bring doubt. His job is to bring confusion. His job is to bring question. Amen. Amen. Now here's how the Spirit of God, Brother Shook preached a couple times. He talked about the Spirit of God saying, "You're lost." And I'm glad the Holy Ghost don't deal with ifs and maybes. Amen. The Holy Ghost deals with absolutes. You either are or you're not. Amen. But the devil deals in confusion. Amen. God's not the author of confusion, but the devil is the author of confusion. One way to know when the Holy Ghost deals with you, and when the devil's dealing with you, if the devil says you're lost, he'll say, "No hope for you. You're lost and there's nothing you can do. You're lost and you've just done made such a fool. You done made such a mess that there's no hope, no chance of you being saved." But the Holy Ghost, if he points you towards being lost, he'll also point you to the Lamb. Amen. If he shows you your condition, he'll show you Calvary, thank God, and offer you a way out. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad it's so. So thinking about how the devil tempted the Lord, is the real devil, he really knew. But he questioned whether or not he's the Son of God. And it really happened. It's real occasions that happened. Now, when did this take place? Let me get one more thing by way of introduction. When the Lord faced the devil said, "Perform a miracle. Perform a miracle, make these stones become bread. Perform a miracle, jump off this pinnacle and float down to the ground on angels' wings. Amen. Perform a miracle. Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all these things." Jesus could have rebuked the devil with a miracle, but he did not face the devil with miraculous power. He faced the devil in his manhood. It was the manhood of Jesus that's been tempted. Amen. Not that there's sin in him. There's no sin in him. There's no fault in him. Amen. Not on compilant, not find any fault. There was no fault to be found. Amen. I do believe in the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sinless, thank God. Amen. Made in the form of man, but without sin. Amen. But he was a man. And in his manhood, Satan tempted him. And in his manhood, he withstood Satan. And that tells me and you that by the grace of God, as men, as the sons of God, we can overcome the devil when he comes in his tempting power. Amen. Think of all the miracles Jesus did. This one, first one, he said, "Feed yourself." He fed 5,000, but he never fed himself. He fed multitudes, but he never fed himself. He never performed a miracle for his own self. Amen. They said he saved others. himself he cannot save. And that was true. If he'd saved himself, he would not have been the Savior of mankind. But I'm glad they said it right. He saved others. Amen. And I'm glad he was able to overcome the devil in the power. How did he overcome him? You know he overcome with the Word of God. But I want you to notice this temptation then. When was the then? It's immediately after the baptism of John. Our Lord starting his earthly ministry right at the beginning of his ministry. I'm going to tell you, there's a dangerous thing. When God's getting ready to use you, the devil recognizes that. And the devil may very well try his best to you before God ever thrust you out in ministry. Amen. Our Lord Jesus was getting ready to enter into his public ministry, and part of that entrance was before he could preach, before he could be that Old Testament priest. Oh, he's taking on the priesthood in his 30th year as a priest would, and the first thing those priests would do was they'd offer sacrifice for themselves, and they'd have a ceremonial cleansing, a ceremonial washing. And Jesus came to John for his washing, but his washing, he's not an Old Testament priest, he's the New Testament priest, thank God. And so he's got baptism for his washing. Amen. And he comes to John. You know the story. John says to the Lord, I have need to be baptized with thee. Amen. You remember what John was doing down there at the Jordan River? John was baptizing sinners. And he is demanding them repent. And if they didn't repent, he didn't baptize them. He said, bring forth the repenters. But he ain't fixing to repent. He don't have no need to repent. And John recognized he didn't have no need to repent. Amen. John didn't rebuke him for not repenting. John said, I'm the one that needs to repent. I'm the one that needs to be baptized. You, Jesus said, suffer to be so for now. But you say, what was happening? Why was Jesus there in that line with those sinners? Here it was. He was a line of men that were transgressors. He was being numbered among the transgressors. That's how he's going to start his earthly ministry. And he put his hands or his life in the hands of a man, and he's letting that man lay him down in the water. He's letting that man let him die, and he's going to come up knowing, amen, that he had the power to rise. And you see the death and the burial and the resurrection, Lord Jesus, in baptism. Amen. Now you can't see that in sprinkling. You can't see that in sprinkling. And you can't come up straightway out of the water with sprinkling. Amen. But you see that with our Lord. Here's where I'm going with it. I'll get to my point real quick, and I won't keep you all night, Lord willing. But immediately as he came up out of the water, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove and lit upon his shoulder. So you know you've got the Trinity there. You've got the Spirit of God on his shoulder, the Son of God in the water. And the voice of the Father comes down and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The very next verse, then, after God said, the devil said, yea, hath God said, are you really the Son of God? The devil came saying, now, if you're really the Son of God, prove it. Prove it. Here's what he's asking the Lord to do. He was asking the Lord to distrust the Word of God. To show some miraculous power that would make him, he said, then I'll believe. Truth was, the devil was never going to be a believer. Amen. The devil was never going to be a believer. And this world, sometimes they'll ask you questions. They're just baiting you, trying to get you in an argument or in a debate, because they're not interested in knowing the truth. Amen. Many times they're just trying to get you to cast your pearls before the swine so they can turn and lend you. Amen. I think what we better do, we better learn, as our Lord did, just to stand on the Word of God. Amen. When the devil said, you're hungry, and he was hungry. He had fasted 40 days. He'd done without food for 40 days. And the devil said, you're hungry, and there's stones here. He said, you ought to command these stones to be made bread. My dad said that he read somewhere one time that the stones over there in that part of the country looked like little loaves of bread, little biscuits. Brother Larry Rain said he had two granddaughters that could make biscuits that turned into stone. Amen. I don't know if those stones look like bread or not, but I know this, The devil said to the Lord, Lord, if you're really who you say you are, if you really believe God said what he said, if you really believe God's word, you ought not be hungry. Why would you be in a place of a wilderness? Why would you be out here being tempted of the devil if you was really full of the Spirit? Why would you be out here in a dry place? Why would you be hungry? Why would you be thirsty? And why would there be nothing but stones? He was saying, you've got the power, and you can prove it to me. You've got the power to make those stones become bread. And so prove your godhood by making these stones become bread. Listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, listen. We're fixing, I believe, to enter into some hard times as Christians in America. Amen. We was talking earlier about that apostolic woman, that Assemblies of God woman over there in Grayson County, Kentucky, that went to jail. And I don't know why. I hadn't heard what happened today, today or tomorrow. Once she's supposed to go before that judge again. He's supposed to reevaluate all that thing. But she stood her ground, said she's not going to issue those. If we have any independent Baptists, it's going to take a stand like that. We may well go to jail just like she's doing. We may well face a lot of problems. Amen. I mean, a lot of problems in this country and in this world before we get out of here. But here's what the devil's going to say. The devil's going to say, if you was really the child of God, if God really loved you like he says he does, why do you have all these stones? Why are you in this wilderness? You're hungry. Why are you hungry? Why are you doing without? If God is really what you say he is, and you're really what you say you are, command these stones to be made bread. I'm preaching on this thought tonight. Let's just let the stones stay stones. Amen. Let's just let the stones stay stones. Now, here's what our Lord knew. Our Lord's in the wilderness. He's hungry. I don't know what... The Bible don't tell me where this wilderness is. It don't tell me which mountain he went upon. That great exceeding high mountain. I know he's in the holy city of Jerusalem when he's on the pinnacle of the temple. I know that. That's the only one I know exactly where he was. But he's in a wilderness. And in wilderness, our Lord is hungry. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God put bread in the wilderness? Jesus knew that if he needed bread, his Father wouldn't give him a stone, praise God. Amen. As a matter of fact, that's what he said in John chapter number 7. Turn there, if you will. John chapter number 7 and verse number 9. He's talking about prayer. Look back at verse 7. John 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Look at verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? And he goes on and say, you're wicked fathers, you're evil fathers. My father's a good father, and he knows how to provide for me. Amen. Amen. So the Lord knew that if he needed bread, God had no problem providing bread in the wilderness. If he really needed bread, he wouldn't have just had stones. For 40 years, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. I'm of the mind that it might even have been in some of this same wilderness. That they wandered in the wilderness, and for 40 years, every day, except the Sabbath day, God dropped bread out of heaven. Manna. Amen. One place called it angel's food. Amen. Amen. God, for 40 years, fed his children day and night, day and night, day and night. God fed his children for 40 years, 6 days a week, amen, with bread from heaven, and he can still do it. Has to, amen. Jesus knew he could trust his Father. The point I'm trying to get to is that we can trust our Father and we don't have to give in to the devil and we don't have to prove nothing to the devil. We can believe God and let our stones stay stones. Elijah, we were talking about this morning. God told Elijah, go over and tell, show yourself to Pharaoh. And he went and showed himself to Pharaoh and said, it ain't going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And so the drought came in, the famine came in. By the way, if it don't rain, crops don't grow. Amen. And so it's dry, not just dry, it's a drought. There's nothing going on, famine in the land. And yet God fed Elijah with bread from heaven. This time it wasn't dropped out just by the hand of God. It was ravens. Amen. Ravens came right by and brought him bread and flesh, the Bible said. Amen. That's my kind of eating, by the way, meat and bread. Amen. Amen. And he brought him bread and flesh every day, twice a day. Amen. And God fed his man there. Jesus knew that if he really needed bread, he didn't have to turn stones to bread. God could send by a raven if he wanted to. When the brook dried up, God said, going over to Zarephath. And he still fed him bread. Meal in a barrel. Amen. Didn't drop out of heaven. I don't know how it got in the bottom of that barrel. I don't know if it came up from the bottom, like the dew of the ground. I don't know how it did it. But God kept the bread afloat. And Jesus knew that if he needed bread, his Father could provide all the bread he needed. Amen. Amen. Now, as children of God, here's where I'm at. We may feel like we're in the wilderness. We may feel like we're hungry. We may feel like, Lord, it just seems like everywhere I go, there's nothing but stones. There's hard things here and hard things there. It seems everywhere I move, when I think maybe I'm fixing to get a bite, when I think I'm fixing to get something to satisfy me, I see nothing but hard things. Here's what to do. Don't fall prey to the devil. Trust in God. And let the stones stay stones. Now here's practical. Now I'll be done just a second. Here's practical. Here's what the devil will say. The devil will say to you, now listen. You have the power to command some of your stones to be bread. Sometimes, now listen, sometimes tithing is hard. It's a stone. It's hard. When your check comes in, you got 100% of check and you got 110% of bills. You say, preacher, in there. Come over to our house sometimes. Amen. Amen. And here's what the devil will say. You've got the power to command these stones to be made bread. You don't have to live on 90%. You can live on the whole 100%. So you're getting that 10% that's a stone to you, and you're making it bread. By the way, that's what they call money, ain't it? You're making it bread. You're taking that 10% that was a stone to you, and you're commanding it to be made bread. But here's what I found out. If you'll learn to trust God, and you'll give God what belongs to God, listen now, you can make 110% of bills if you have to on 90% of income.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. Because God's got a way of dropping bread out of the heavens. God's got a way of putting bread in your mailbox. God's got a way of putting bread in your pocket. God's got a way of letting you find that bread that you need to keep on keeping on.
Yes.
Let's just let the stones stay stones. Amen. Here's somewhere else. And here's, I believe where they're going to hit us. Listen to me. Well, there's several. We're with the radio ministry there at Island Ford. We're in the public ministry. I know you all have the printing ministry. It's the same thing. And by the way, because what's in print is hard copy. Amen. And they're going to find some of this stuff and they're going to find fault with it. And they're going to say it's hate speech. Amen. And they're going to do their best to limit it. They're going to try to limit us over the airwaves. We're already regulated by the FCC. Amen. And they're going to try to find a way to shut down our speech. They may not mind us being Christians within the four walls of these buildings for a little while. They may let that go on. But when we get it outside these four walls, they're going to try to limit it. And I'll tell you, one of the places they're going to hit us is with our money, with our tax-free status, and with the fact that we've had it so easy so long. And they may get it where you can't buy or sell unless you do what they say do. Amen. They're going to hit us in their pocketbooks. And they're going to make it hard. When times get hard, you know what a lot of people do? Well, it begins to be a stone to go to the house of God on Sunday, because you could make it time and a half just by working on Sunday. I mean, you could command that stone to become bread. Amen. You could say, well, you know, maybe if I just do it every other Sunday, it wouldn't be so bad. And the devil said, well, you're spiritual enough. It ain't going to hurt you to miss a sermon or two. And what he's saying is, command these stones to be made bread. Make it easier on yourself. Make it a little easier on yourself. Here's what our Lord said. Our Lord said, I believe I'll just live by the Word of God. Amen. He said, the Word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen and amen. I agree with what Brother Cox said, that Yoder fella said about his kids. I didn't ever want my children in public school. Thank God they didn't have to go. Amen. Hannah went for one semester in kindergarten. We found out what they was teaching, and we pulled her out. Thank God. And God give me a good wife that would work in that thing and teach them. Amen. You've heard, I've said 100 times, I know homeschool, I'm against home churches. Home churches are have an authority problem.
That's right.
Amen. But I am for homeschool. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I like Christian school. That's fine if you like, that's better than public school. But I believe God gave that priority to the parents. But I've said this all my life. If you're going to homeschool, it's not just keeping them home from school. Amen. They taught something. Now, I would rather they didn't know how to read than to learn what they learned over in school. Amen. As a rock singer said something years ago, I remembered it, and I'm ashamed that I know it. I'm going to use it right here in a moment because it's fitting. I'm not going to tell you who said it, and I'd rather you wouldn't look it up. But it was a rock singer, but he had this part right. He said, don't let your children go to school before that they can read, or else all they'll know how to do is cuss and fight and breed. And that's what they're learning in school. Amen. Amen. He might have said, don't let your children watch TV. I don't remember exactly what the first part of it was. Don't let your children do something before they can read. But here's where I'm going with this thing. I'd rather they didn't know how to read, but they didn't know Jesus, than for them know how to read Socrates and die in their sin and go to hell. Amen. But I do want them to learn how to read because they need to learn how to read this Word of God. But they're going to hit us in these areas where they're going to say, it's too hard on you. It's too hard. And they're going to try their best to make it too hard on us and say, you can't live. Now listen to me. My grandparents, my mom's the last of 14 children. You said you had 14? Mom's the last of 14. They all lived. She had a brother that died when he was 16 years old. The first child ever died. My mom's youngest. Her oldest sister was 30 years old when mama was born. Grandpa raised the whole crowd with my grandma never working a public job. Never, never working a public job. Grandpa probably never made in a day what you make in an hour. He may have never made in a week what some of you make in an hour. But he raised his family and kept them in church. Now they didn't all have cars and none of them had cell phones and they didn't have color TVs. They didn't have internet. Amen now. Amen. Now, I'll close with this. I didn't mean to get off on all that, but we're there. We're there. So hang with me and I'll try to sew it up. All right. You know what the sin of Sodom was? What produced Sodom and Gomorrah? We know the sodomy, that whole ball of sin, that whole mass of sin that's down in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said what caused that was a fullness of bread and an idleness of hands that caused Sodomites. And our society, they're sitting on every street corner and they don't have nothing to do, but they got plenty of bread. They got their money, they got their phones, they got their food stuff. They're full of bread and they got nothing to do, and we're producing Sodomites after another across our country.
You're right.
What we need to do is get back to trusting God. Get back to trusting God. Believe in God. Amen. Believe in God and just say, I'm going to bank on what God said. I know what God said. God had just said, this is my beloved son. And all of a sudden the devil steps out and says, I don't believe that. Isn't it amazing?
Amen.
It's amazing that as soon as God gives you something, the devil will do his best to come try to snatch that seed away. He'll do his best to come and try to sow doubt. He'll come try to sow discord. He'll come and try to sow all kinds of disturbance in your mind to try to choke out the good seed of the Word of God. I'll tell you what y'all do. Y'all just open up your heart and grab a hold of the Word of God and hang on to the Word of God and say, I may not live by bread alone, but I can make it if I got the Bible on it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So let my stones stay stones. All right, brother, I'm done.